Amen. I invite you to open your Bibles now to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll be reading verses 23 through 28. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. The word of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing to guide us this morning as we look to him through his word. Father, we come to you now in the spirit of dependence. Lord, we belong to you by your grace and by your kindness to us in Christ. And because of who Jesus is, we pray in his name that you would show us more of the good news that is true of us because of what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus. Lord, we pray, yes, for this worship service and the sermon. Father, we pray for our congregation, where there's so many sicknesses and illnesses and surgeries this past week. We pray for Kevin Malone this morning that your hand of blessing and protection and mercy would be upon him. Father, we pray for our friends Joe and Pam Hacker as they recover. Would you bless them, give them healing? And Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would meet with us now. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. In 1991, I was in college, and a remarkable movie was released. It was called The Silence of the Lambs. I say it was remarkable because it was remarkably horrible. It's a fictional story of a young FBI agent tracking down a serial murderer. Every single part of that film scared me to death. If you've seen it, maybe it scared you as well. If I'm being honest, I don't like anything that's scary. None of it. Not movies, not podcasts, not Halloween costumes. I much prefer fun, predictable, maybe even interesting. But I don't care anything about scary or fearful at all. But what do we do as Christians when following the Lord is scary? What about when Jesus leads us down paths which are not fun, which are not predictable, maybe are still interesting, but they're scary? What do we do when things are truly fearful in our following of Jesus, in our journey of faith? The reality is, for all of us, we have a future that is unknown, and that is scary. We have job changes. We have health concerns and diagnoses. We have political unrest. We have family tension and many, many, many more. Our passage today deals with the connection between our faith and our fears. How do we trust the Lord when he takes us into scary situations? So keep your Bibles open to Hebrews 11. Today we turn our attention to Moses. As we've been going through each of these Old Testament figures, today we see Moses, this great leader of God's Old Testament people. A man called by God to do things that were way beyond his ability, way beyond his strength, way beyond what was fun or easy. Moses had to trust God and had faith in him. So let's consider this man. In all the figures from Hebrews 11, Will and I talked this week. If we're going to go back and do a character study on one person, I want to spend 6 or 8 weeks looking at Moses. There's so much here about his faith. Here are a few things you need to know about him before we get into the sermon. The easiest way to describe Moses is that he was the person God used to provide God's law. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. And within those words, we see that Moses was set apart. God made a covenant with him that God's people, the Israelites, would be holy. They would be distinguished by the rest of the world because of this law, this ethic that would belong to them. And of course, in Christ, still distinguishes us. Perhaps the most climatic event in the Old Testament was when God's people, leaving slavery in Egypt, entered into the promised land so that God would be worshiped by his people. It was Moses who led them. He was called by God. He was equipped by God. He was given the task of leading them, this exodus out of Egypt into Canaan. And throughout Exodus, we see time and again that Moses demonstrated faith. Now, we also know about Moses. He demonstrated sin, he demonstrated impatience, and he demonstrated his fears. But Hebrews 11 mentions none of those. For today, we see what he did well, if you will. He reveals how we live when we are full of faith while simultaneously full of fear. You see, for Moses and for us, it's not an option as we follow the Lord to stay put. It's not an option to simply go along to get along. It's not an option just to wait it out. Sometimes we must act. Sometimes we must live by faith, where faith and action go together. So here I have four observations I want to offer briefly this morning about Moses' life, revealed here in Hebrews 11, that I hope will help us as we trust the Lord when we're scared, when we have to go things that are difficult, when we have to live by faith when we are filled with fear. Four things that we do. First, we remember. Secondly, we reject. Thirdly, we realize. And then fourthly, we receive. There are your points. All begin with R. Remember, reject, realize, and receive. So when our faith is tested and we are afraid, what do we do? All right, first, we remember. Look back at verse 23. Notice the very beginning of Moses' life is hugely significant. Exodus 1 provides this historical reference for the uniqueness of Moses' childhood. If you recall, Joseph, he of the coat of many colors, and his brothers went down to Egypt at the end of the book of Genesis. They were given a place to live in order for their very survival to exist. Years and years and years pass. Joseph was long forgotten by the Egyptians. The Israelites were now the slaves in Egypt. The children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob now are slaves. However, they continued to multiply. Their numbers grew and grew until, out of fear of rebellion of them, the king of Egypt declared, and get this, that all the baby boys born to the Israelites were to be killed. Throw them into the Nile as a way to control the population. So Hebrews 11, 23 declares that Moses' parents had faith on his behalf to save him. He was hidden for 3 months to attempt to save his life. The result of that, miraculously, Moses was placed in a small boat, an ark, if you will, and put into the Nile, where he floated downstream. In God's care, Pharaoh's daughter rescued him, adopted him into her family. Providentially, the daughter had Moses' mother nurse him until he was old enough to return and live with the king's family. Thus, Moses was saved and given a future. Why is that significant for us today? I think it's this. It's that Moses did absolutely nothing at this part in his life. He was an infant. He didn't exercise faith. He had no memory of floating down the Nile in a boat. He's probably glad. That would have been terrifying. And yet he is right here in the middle of the story. He's the main character. It's important for us to remember that Moses is the one who wrote this book. Moses is the one who wrote the book of Exodus, meaning since he had no knowledge of actual memories of that time, the only way he could write it as if he was told the story of his past. Thus, how did, in part, Moses deal with his fear? He remembered. He remembered the faith of his parents. He remembered the works of God in the past, even before he had a conscious memory, both of what he saw and what he was told of the Lord. You know, thinking about that of Moses, this scene really does help us imagine our belief in covenant theology that we have witnessed this morning, this baptism. When our children are baptized as infants, of course they don't remember any of it. That is part of the beauty. You see, it is our role to tell them all that has taken place in their life. From the very beginning of their life, God has been at work. Last weekend, we celebrated Reformation Sunday. We always have a lot of fun with that here at our church. We typically mention Martin Luther, the great German monk and reformer. One of the things about Luther's story that I've mentioned here in the past, but I found it helpful this week in preparing for this, is the line that Luther used. When he was spiritually struggling, when he was tested, he told himself something over and over and over, and it was this. Luther said, "At least I was baptized." What a strange statement to make. At least I was baptized. What did he mean by that? I think what he meant was this. In his heart, he needed to know and to be encouraged that whatever trial he was facing, he needed to know long before he had any memory that God began the work in his life. God was responsible for everything in his life. I love the Apostle Paul's words in Philippians 1, where he said, "He who began a good work in you will complete it in Christ Jesus." Meaning, when we are afraid, we must remember God is the one who started all of this in our life. God initiated all of this. Our being here with him and trusting him, this was his idea. As the Hebrews writer aimed to encourage these new Christians that we're reading about this fall, Moses' life was to demonstrate that their confidence was in the reality that God had been at work all the way in the past. God is responsible for you. You see, Moses needed this ongoing reminder that I have been put here because God wants me here. So let me ask you this morning, what part in your life of following Jesus scares you? Can you name it? If so, can you remember this morning that you being here and trusting the Lord today is because the Lord has begun a good work in you? Maybe today you need to go back and hear stories from your parents or your grandparents or from friends or coaches or mentors to remind your heart God is the one who has set you apart. First thing we do when we are afraid, we remember. We remember. This is the work of the Lord. But secondly, notice in Moses' life, look back at verses 24 through 26. There is a rejection that must take place in our life. If you know the story of Moses, you remember Moses had an identity crisis. It was unique to his story, but it's one that all followers must also similarly go through. We've seen that Moses had this unique childhood. It was all God's grace, of course, that he was even alive. But there was this twist, and it involved this woman who adopted him. You see, yes, Moses was saved. Yes, he was nursed by his mother, but then he went to live with the daughter of the king of Egypt. Crazily, Moses grew up in royalty. His birth family were still slaves, but he didn't live with them. Pharaoh's daughter provided for Moses everything the Egyptian culture could offer. What was normal for him in his formative years were the very best of Egyptian culture. His lifestyle, his education, his dining, his shelter. The problem, though, he wasn't Egyptian. His life was, but in his heart, he was not. He had a favored status that was not his true self. So as he grew up, as he matured, it was clear to him the enslaved people, the afflicted people, those are my people. Here I am enjoying the best of the world, but they're not really my people. From an identity standpoint, Moses was in two places at the same time. In verse 24, when he grew up, over time, he matured. He had some major decisions to make, and they would radically affect every single thing in his life. Would he enjoy this easy life in a culture opposed to the Lord, or would he identify with the people of God, those people to whom he actually belonged, the mistreated, the poor, the looked down upon people? Again, Moses' situation was unique to him, so we cannot fully put ourselves into his shoes. However, we all have some decisions to make. We all must recognize this reality, that in this world, this is not our home. Please see for everyone, this is never going to be an easy decision for us. For Moses, the easiest thing for him would have been to enjoy his life of privilege. Eat, drink, and be merry. Why not? We have a fun story in my family. I don't know if it's really true or not, but I suspect it might be more true than we would care to realize. My father-in-law, who is quite a character, was a freshman at the University of Kentucky, 1964. He said, quote, "It was a fun time to be alive," and I'm confident he had a lot of fun. That fall, he pledged a fraternity at UK, and it is safe to say that good time continued throughout his freshman year. Now, it just so happened that his best buddy in his pledge class was from Lexington, and that guy's father was a high-ranking government official here in our city. Again, I don't know if all of the stories are true, but the stories in which we have been told over the years, it's because of the status of my father-in-law's friend. Shockingly, he had no traffic violations all year. Shockingly, no speeding tickets. Shockingly, nothing else that I'll mention here from the pulpit was he ever charged with that easily might have existed for everyone else. What was true of my father-in-law? He enjoyed his favored status greatly. Don't we all long for that? But look back at verses 25 and 26. You see, eternally speaking, to belong to the people of God with the affliction which is to come is where actual treasure is found. Treasure which will last forever. What Moses had to do was to look at both of these ways of life and to compare the best of following the ways of the world or the best of following Christ. He had to wrestle with that. See the application from Moses' life for us all this morning. What does a Christian do when our faith is scary for us? We cling to the people of God. It's what we do. These are our people. We embrace our eternal identity with each other. Fact for us all, we will not perfectly fit into this world and follow Christ. We can't. So can you accept that this morning? It's not easy. It's not meant to be. This past week at Company of Men, we're going through the book of Proverbs on Thursday mornings. But this week we came across this very convicting verse in James chapter 4, verse 4, where James, the brother of Jesus, uses these words. And they're hard to hear, but he said, "You adulterous people, that friendship with the world is enmity with God." We all have to wrestle with which side will we pick? I think there is spiritual strength to be found when we align ourselves together with the people of Christ. So what do we do when we're scared? We remember God's work in the past. We reject the fleeting identity of this world. But then thirdly, verse 27, we realize something. Let me reread verse 27 because it's important, this phrase. about Moses, it is said, by faith, he left Egypt, not afraid of the king's anger. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let that sink in. Seeing him who is invisible. How did Moses live when he was scared? Not fearing, not being afraid of the king's anger. How did he live? Quote, he endured as seeing the invisible. Of all that we have discussed and learned thus far in Hebrews chapter 11, I feel like this phrase kind of sums up everything that we have discussed. He saw the invisible. What on earth does that mean? How can we see what's not there? Who is unseeable? Again, what does it mean? What did Moses do? Is this just blind hope that God is out there somewhere, anywhere? No one knows where, but just maybe he's paying attention to us. Is that what faith is? No. The answer is no. Here was the situation for Moses. You remember this. Moses left Egypt early in his life. He was married. He started a family. God called him from the burning bush. God told him, go to your people. Bring them out of slavery. Their slavery is over. Lead them into Canaan, the promised land, the land that I have given to them. Think about that scenario for Moses. What God called Moses to do made no sense. There was no reason at all the king of Egypt would ever let his labor force leave. That would be crazy. So God would have to bring them out. Thus, God had to bring them out through his own unique means of these plagues, one plague after another, to demonstrate his power, both to Pharaoh and to Moses, for them to know God has all authority here. As Pharaoh's heart was hardened, Moses was surely the most hated person in all of Egypt. Yet God's signs of power could not be denied. His powerful acts, his work, his ongoing demonstration of providence, Moses had to know in his heart, in his mind, in his body, in his soul, the God that I cannot see keeps doing things I can see. The God I cannot visualize does things here on this earth that I see that only he could do. See, we cannot reduce Moses to a man with blind hope. We can't, because the Lord spoke to him and the Lord led him. God was with him. Invisible? Yes. Absent? Never. Here's the point. What are you trusting the Lord to do today, which seems impossible and, of course, is fearful? What by faith are you dependent upon him exclusively? Here's what you do as you wait. You listen to him from his word. He speaks to us there. And then you watch what he does. And you will see his invisible nature in his acts. We see him as he brings his plan together. His acts are seeable, if you will. What did Moses do? He remembered, he rejected, he realized. And lastly, and let's close with this, verse 28, Moses received. He received the grace of God, as do we. Verse 28, by faith, Moses kept the Passover. What does that mean? Let your hearts this morning be encouraged by the work of Jesus Christ for his people. Again, one of the most dramatic scenes from the Old Testament was this Passover. In the final act of these plagues against Pharaoh and his hard heart, to ensure that the king of Egypt would let the people of Israel leave and follow Moses into the promised land, there was a final devastating act. To liberate the Israelites, the angel of the Lord would pass through Egypt. And all of the oldest living sons would die that night. Frightening. That would happen unless, by God's grace, to follow his instruction to take the blood of an innocent lamb and to sprinkle that blood over your home And when that angel of death came to your house and looks upon the home and sees the blood of the Lamb, at the sight of that blood, the angel would not give death, but would mercifully pass over the home, and all inside that house would be spared. They would be saved. They would be safe. You see, Moses received that blood as cover for his life and for his family. Later, after that horrible evening, upon survival, all those whose homes were covered and sprinkled by that blood, they would all leave Egypt. They would move out toward the promised land. They were delivered, and God created a ceremony for them. It was called, of course, the Passover, the annual celebration which focused upon a meal consisting of an innocent lamb and of bread, for God's people to feast and to celebrate and to enjoy that their freedom, their life came because of that blood that was sprinkled. The wrath of God did not come upon us because God saw the blood of the Lamb. It was all because of that blood that we are safe and that we are alive. From generations going forward, from that moment, that festival celebrated the blood which covered our houses. You see, Moses received God's grace, and so do we. We know how, don't we? Just before Jesus died, he gathered his friends for a meal. And it was, of course, the annual time for Passover. This time to eat, to be reminded of our heritage. But this time, the Lamb of God was the Son of God, the true Lamb who was silenced. The Passover became this table, his body, a perfect sacrifice, the bread of life given to us, his blood which covers our sin. You see, we don't come to him today in fear. We don't have to live today in fear because that blood covers us. We live today, we come today, we go forth throughout our lives today in faith, all because of what we have received. So, church, whatever you're facing in life this morning, understand we receive the goodness of God because he is faithful to us. Do we live in fear? No, we live in faith. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. We'll transition to the Lord's Prayer, and then we will come and feast yet again as we remember this meal before us. Oh Lord, you are the faithful one. You have delivered us. You have cared for us. Father, you are loving and you are holy. And only in the cross can we see those two come together. So Jesus, you are the object of our hope, our faith. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the fact that you enjoy us, that you delight in us, that you willingly gave yourself so that we could have you. Father, give joy to our hearts, we pray this morning. And now we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.